Well, for our final hour, we would like to introduce Brother Larry McClellan, one who we know loves the old story. He's told it many, many times. The one he has for us today is entitled Fishers of Men. Fishers of Men.
I'm reminded of Brother Gene Burns, who was mentioned earlier at the convention, and he got up, he was the last speaker, and he said, quoted the scripture, "Blessed are those who endure unto the end." We miss those old timers, don't we? He was a sweetheart. We want to tell you what an incredible joy it has been to be here with you at convention. We love you so very much. We, being raised in this part of the country, have just grown to know and love each and every one of you over the years. And I can't tell you what an incredible privilege and joy it is for Sister Debbie and I to be here. And I say that with tears almost breaking out of my eyes. It's been so good to see you. We want to also thank the Jackson class for all their labors of love and all the behind-the-scenes efforts and all the preparations that went into this convention. You certainly have washed our feet well, and we thank you and praise the Lord for all your loving kindness and services towards us to make this convention possible. When I was a young boy, my father, Bob McClellan, how many remember Brother Bob? Number of you. He used to take me fishing. He took me fishing and taught me the art of fishing. And we fished many of these lakes around here. Cass Lake, I think, maybe some of these will come back to me. Orchard Lake, some of you know that in Detroit area. And we did a lot of fishing. Went up north and did some fishing. How many here have been fishing? How many of you are? A lot of you, right? What do you need to know when you go fishing? What do you need to know? Anybody? Got to have the proper bait, right? You better use the proper bait. That'll make a lot of difference. What else? Lots of patience, absolutely. That's one thing. Not to make noise, that's right. Yeah, because they get startled, right? So you need to have the proper bait. You need to know maybe what time of day it is, where the fish are. And, you know, a lot of times, if you've learned something about fishing, you know that they go underneath where the trees are overhanging, right? And little bugs or larvae will fall off in the water. A lot of times you can cast your rod below those low-lying branches and find fish. But you got to watch you don't get your lure stuck in the branches. I've done that plenty of times. You need a lot of determination, too, don't you? You need some stick-to-itiveness. A lot of people don't have the patience for doing that. You need to know the temperature of the water. There's a lot of little details in there. Did you know the first Christians that were ever called were fishermen? You knew that, right? Some of Jesus' apostles were actually fishermen, like Peter and Andrew. But Jesus didn't want to make his apostles stay fishers of fish, but rather fishers of men. So we read in Matthew 4:18. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Matthew 4:19 says, and he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." When those wonder-speaking eyes of Jesus looked into Peter's eyes and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," how could you do anything else but follow him, right? You know, about a week ago, August 28th, we had a manna. You recall this, perhaps. It said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season." 2 Timothy 4:2. This means that we are to have such a love for the truth, such an earnest desire to serve it, that we will gladly accept the opportunity to do so, however inconvenient it may be for ourselves. It is the chief business of our lives. That's pretty profound, isn't it? To which life itself even is subservient, and hence no opportunity for service must be laid aside. The important question here is, to what extent are we each serving the truth to the best of our abilities, our time, and our circumstances? That's the introspective question for us today, dear brethren. Let me ask you two questions. Are you of this anointed class spoken of in Psalms 133, where it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and coming down upon the edge of his robes." This means that this anointing oil travels all the way down and over the body members of Christ also throughout the gospel age. What do the scriptures say about this anointed class's commission to preach? Remember, we mentioned that yesterday. Let's read about it in Isaiah 61. You're all familiar with this. Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to prisoners." Now let's do some personal introspection. You know, Brother Tom mentioned about Brother Larry being an evangelist years ago. I don't know, I think I'm kind of slipping on that area. So this is a good pep talk for all of us. Are you and I actively witnessing about God's plan every week, whether by mouth or by tract or another witnessing tool? I don't know about you, and I'm a little embarrassed to admit it, but personally I think I've been slipping in this department over the years. What about you? I used to be a lot more active in witnessing years ago than I am today. How about you? Have you been slipping in this responsibility as well? Maybe not. Perhaps you're as active as you have always been, or perhaps you can say that you have more mortgages on your time than you used to, and that may very well be. You might have the care of an aging parent or a newborn child, or perhaps your health is not as good as it used to be. You are aging and you are up in your years, or confined perhaps to a bed for health reasons. Perhaps there's other reasons as well. Brethren, I have to tell you that I know one brother in his mid-80s that still goes out to tract during the day. He's had more health problems than you can shake a stick at. He's my dear friend, my best friend in Florida. It's Harry Nugent. How many remember Brother Harry Nugent? A number of you know him. He's a very wonderful brother. The question is, if the shoe fits, right? Can you and I stand before the Lord in the completion of our coursework in Christ and give God solid and good reasons why we are not witnessing much, if that be the case, or at all? Or will God see through it only as excuses or rationalizing away our inattentiveness for our duties and responsibilities, given our respective circumstances? When we go into a restaurant or go into a grocery store or sit in a doctor's office, is it really too hard for us to remember to bring and place a tract there somewhere? Or does it just take more conscious thought and planning to do so? Are we as bold as a lion and gentle as a lamb? Maybe that's in part what it's talking about, to step out of your comfort zone and to do something like that and handing a tract out to somebody. If you felt an ouch on that one, believe me, I felt a bigger one. I'm often forgetting to take a tract with me and place one here and there when I go to some of these places. There are many times when I just have so much on my mind that I forget to leave a tract. Maybe you feel the same way. But perhaps, like myself, you and I can make a more conscientious effort in placing a tract here and there during our daily life. That's the main purpose of this talk. It's merely a reminder of something you and I already know, but possibly we're slowing down or don't hardly make an effort anymore. Some might say, Brother Larry, people don't want to read the truth literature anymore. The harvest is over or almost over, and we're not seeing the interest we once saw. I understand. It's not so enjoyable to go fishing when you never seem to catch fish. Right? Well, even though we don't see the interest we once saw, does that justify disobeying or being negligent in our commission to tell forth the good news about the kingdom? Do we have a scripture that tells us to slow down or to stop the work? Show it to me if you have one. I'd like to see it. Our scriptural commission to not only find the last members of the body of Christ, right? But isn't it also to bind the brokenhearted? To bring the really good news of hope to those who we come into contact and give them some hope and vision of a better world coming someday soon? The commission is, the way I understand it, is not just to find the last members of the body of Christ, but to give hope to humanity for a better world, restored and governed by Christ and His bride. Isn't that what Isaiah 61 says? To point to the kingdom and tell them of a better day that's coming. Yes, to give the world some hope when fear and despair, like the stabbings and bombings and shootings of ISIS that surround them, are creating more and more fear. Darkness is in their faces more and more. Can you see it? Anxiety from the unknown is smothering their happiness. The bottom line is this: God will only hold us responsible for what circumstances, time, talent, and ability we possess. But whatever that is, be it great or small, we are commissioned to share the good news with others. The question is, are we truly doing our level best in our efforts to disseminate the truth? Or can we do better? And if we can do better, what steps are we going to take next week and in the months ahead to implement that plan of action? For starters, we can perhaps gather up some tracts to put in our car, our pocket, or purse. It takes a little effort, right? But it doesn't take that much time. Some of us have a shoebox of tracts or something in the garage, maybe, you know, whatever it may be, but it's not doing any good there. Who's going to read it there, right? Or in the basement. Nobody's going to go downstairs and pick a tract up out of there. Get it out of your garage, get it out of your basement, whatever. Stick some tracts in the car. Can we get some tracts to place by our bedside at the hospital if we're in the hospital? Some people can. My mom, she can't place tracts where she lives at this assisted living. They've got a policy that they can't do that. But when she was in the hospital, she had tracts to pass out. Of course, you know my mom. I still laugh at the time somebody, you know, was given a tract by my mom, and she gave it to them, and they ripped it up like this and threw it in her face. And then she reached in and she got another one and she said, "Here, you can't read that one." And they took it. Got to be a quick thinker, right? Can we put some tracts near our front door? So when someone comes to the door to fix something in our house, we can give them a tract of good news before they leave. Can we leave a tract with our tip in it at a restaurant table, for example? Some brethren place tracts in the envelope that they send their bill payments in. Let me show you what Sister Debbie and I do. It might be helpful. I don't leave too cheap a tip here. So almost all the time when we go to restaurants, she'll ask me or ask her, do we have a tract? And we'll just take a tract, open it up, and stick whatever tip is in there and leave it on the table, right? Anybody think that's hard? That's not hard to do. Here's the thing. One time Sister Debbie placed a tract with her tip at the table. The waitress took it, and then after some time she came back to the table. She bent down on her knees, and she said to us, "Don't ever stop giving out this message of hope and comfort." Today I was going to the cemetery after my shift was up to visit my son's gravesite. I can't tell you how much your tract has helped me today. That's what Brother Len was talking about with that lady holding that flag. Until you really experience death like that, it's really hard to say, "I truly understand." But people are hurting. I never knew death until my dad passed.